You say you're against the killing. You talk about the right to life. You describe a poor little beautiful baby under the surgeon's knife. You talk about the words, what I could remember, but it's how you sing it, because you can sing this line in anger. You can also sing it in introspection. You can sing it softly, you know. So this is my song dedicated to Dr. Tiller. You say you're against the killing. You talk about the right to life. You describe a poor little beautiful baby under the surgeon's knife. You stand on the sidewalk threatening me with a placard in your hand, telling me how to run my life. Well, I want you to understand that my baby is not the sweet little dude smiling on the packet of the baby food. My child is so sick and deformed, it'll be dead before the day it's born. It breaks my heart, but here I am, and here's my reason why. Giving my baby dignity by giving it the right to die, the right to life, the right. You live your life and I'll live mine. The right to life, the right to life. My body is mine. You say you're against the killing. You talk about the right to life. Well, how about picketing the husband who's just about to kill his wife? Go drive down the drive of the drive-by gunman. Tell him to toe the line. Just don't tell me what to do with my life, or tell me my body isn't mine. Go after the man who'd kill a man for his religion or his skin. Go after the man who caught Matt Shepard, he tortured and then murdered him. Go after the U.S. government who traveled all the way to Iraq to take away a country's right to life, to shoot folks who can't shoot back. The right to life, the right to life. You live your life and I'll live mine. The right to life, the right to life. My body is mine. Jesus didn't talk about this in the book you worship by. You made it up just for yourself. You're willing to kill, you're ready to die. Gives you something to do, gives you power, gives you a way to control everything that a woman does with her body, heart, and soul. Now my baby and I, we ought to say goodbye. You know that's so hard to do. But what I want to say right now is, what the hell's it got to do with you? You stand on the sidewalk threatening me. You think you know who I am. But who are you? And why do you do this? You know, I really want to understand. The right to life, the right to life. You live your life, I'll live mine. The right to life, the right to life. My body is mine.
That was another controversial song at the SURFA 2016 organization. I'm still not sure what that is. I'm going to try to figure it out here. There they are applauding for her, but what is SURFA? I think it's a folk festival, perhaps. But in any case, you get to hear the songs. Back to Pacific Avenue. Actually, we're going to move instead to the last Wednesday HUF meeting. That's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom get-together, where Sherry Cherie showed up towards the end of the meeting with a report on the last few days outside. You may remember from earlier in the show, she had slept at City Hall, and she reported that she was driven out, forced to go to the library, then forced out into the rain, and then allowed to sleep till 7. I guess there was a kind of a mixture of different moves here and there. Here she is again talking about what happened to her last few nights after, well, I guess it was Monday night and Tuesday night. The last thing you heard from her was a Monday early evening, and this is now a Wednesday morning around noon, actually, discussion at the Huff meeting.
Today is April 18th. It's around 1:30, and I'm talking with
Sherry Sharif.
And Sherry, you got into a motel room tonight, thank goodness, but for the last three nights, you've been telling me you've been roughing it.
The two nights I was roughing it. Last night I got into a motel, so I asked my friend. I told her I've been homeless for 3 years and 7 months, and I feel like I should become dead, and that way I wouldn't be a burden and people wouldn't hate seeing me because I'm angry. Because I've been homeless so long that I have a real attitude about being homeless, being looked down on, people treating you like shit, people treating you like you don't have any brains. I have an A-minus average in college, and so it's really offensive. So I was over at City Hall trying to have my own protest, and the captain came up and offered me a room.
Chief Andy Mills?
He offered me a room, a tent in Tent City, and said he had several police that lived inside Tent City. So it's a heads up out there to you. There's police living next to you in Tent City, or there could be. But
your reaction to this was you'd think about it, you didn't want to do it?
I think about it, having no options and running out of motel money, because it's really expensive staying in motels. It's over $200 for this three nights. But I don't want to be in this tent thing on my birthday. I don't want to be in it on 420. I need some freedom, and I don't like that you can only leave six times a day and there's only six people on the van ride, because there's people that are anally retentive that are going to say, oh, it's 9:07, we have to... And they'll be first, and I'll be like 10th. They're bumbling along 5 minutes late, going, oh.
Walk slowly.
Yeah, the van just left, so I...
You're concerned
I'm
about
concerned
that.
I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about my safety over there. I've had my safety threatened by the police before, and I wonder if they really have our best interests in mind. And if they do, why don't they open an alternate shelter like the... At the Betts Hall over there, or the amphitheater over there, or I like that locker building that's built on the mall with a giant building, two columns that's never been rented out to be given to the homeless as a shelter. We would take good care of it. We'd be out at 6 or 7 in the morning. And
you're thinking of the sports stadium?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of that place over by the movie theater that has 8 movies. What is that one on Locust Street, right by the Starbucks? It's when you come around the corner, and it has Rip Curl in the corner, and then they have distractions on...
You're talking about the mausoleum, the big yeah. Four-story mausoleum. That's the Rittenhouse building. Yeah.
People have been looking in there going, why is it empty? Why is it empty? And now they have pictures of surfers because they don't want to show you it really is empty, and we're all on the outside. So why can't the mayor and the city council come to our rescue and help us, the 85 people who are trapped by the Salvation Army, closing early? Marin funds their winter shelter until the end of May. We should be funded here. It was freezing in Fairfax or Fairfield and the North Bay yesterday. It was freezing. It was hailing in Berkeley the day before. And I just wonder, Do you, the mayor or city council, are you concerned that we're freezing or we're cold or we're wet or we have nowhere to go, and try and help people that are old, people that are disabled, people that are scared, women that are scared that have PTSD issues, men that have mobility issues? A lot of us are falling apart and we're getting older. We're all getting older in life. And I dare Cynthia Matthews and Cynthia Chase to step forward and realize if you didn't have your husband and your cush jobs over there, then you would be homeless too. You're just a job away from being homeless like me. Thank you very much.
So there. Take that, Cynthia and Cynthia.
And you, David, are giving us hope because at least you have rent control, so we think you might be an open-minded mayor. And so we're looking
for rent control.
We're looking forward to working with you. And Robert says you didn't vote for rent control, but I'm looking forward to working with you as a fellow Italiano.
I see. You just have a crush on Terrazas.
No, I don't know him. I've never seen him in my life.
Well, he hangs out at City Hall sometimes, I can tell you that.
Well, he's never there when I'm there.
Well, you got to call him up and just tell him to meet you outside City Hall at 7 o'clock in the evening along with Andy Mills.
No, I don't go out in the evening.
And you could all be arrested for violating the curfew,
yeah.
Right?
And
there is
why
a curfew
you
at City Hall.
Too?
I visited you there.
You can come and Keith can come.
We could
bring food, not bombs.
No bombs, only
food.
We used to do that,
pizza.
But they closed down City Hall and people became discouraged or their attention turned
really
elsewhere.
It's really open. It's beautiful. It's been there since the 20s. It's in pristine condition. There's a place over in the corridors we can get out of the rain. There's no reason why people can't lay there if they're quiet, I believe. What is the reason, Mayor and City Council? Hi, Sandy Brown. I voted you for mayor next.
I won't comment on that. And we've been talking with
Sherry Cherie.
Thank you, Sherry.
And we also had a new Huff member who showed up at the meeting, Maya, who had this report.
Here we are. It's April 18th, 2018. I'm here's something here. I'm in the Sub Rosa. Yes, indeed. Talking with
Maya.
And Maya, I guess it's fairly safe to say that you have been a worker at the food bin up on Mission.
Yeah, that's true.
And how long have you worked there?
I've worked there for 3 months.
And you developed some concerns over that time with the ownership of Wallace's, you say?
Yes, that's true.
And because of a change in policy toward poor and homeless-looking people?
Yeah, I've begun to feel uncomfortable with the way that we're meant to profile a certain demographic of people before allowing them to use the restroom or expected to keep an eye on them when they're shopping in the store.
And you, I think your associate also told me that you used to give away bruised fruit and now they're insisting that it all be thrown away?
Yeah, I never worked there at the time when food was given away, but I've heard that we used to hand out the produce when the old owners were still there, and the bread that gets thrown away was given away. The employees are still allowed to take food, but a lot of it still gets thrown away or composted at the end of the day.
And have you seen anything specifically there in the last 3 months you've worked that has particularly concerned you? Anything, any particular incidents come to mind?
I can't think of a particular incident, but just in general, being asked to follow somebody based on what they look like or asked how much somebody spent after they've left the store, asked if they bought something, and there's a theme of homeless-looking people or people who don't appear to have a lot of money.
And let's say in the last week, how many times has this happened? Have you been asked to follow someone, or have you heard one of your fellow employees been asked to do that?
Usually every day. If I'm behind the register and certain people come in, I'm usually asked to go around the store and make sure I have an eye on them.
And is this a manager or an owner who asks you to do this, or is this a posted regulation or something?
It's become a regulation enforced by the owner and the manager.
How frequently do they come in?
Usually every day.
And are they there continuously, or are they there just briefly?
It depends on the day, I guess.
Do any of the other staff tend to object to this approach, or do they all sort of fall into line?
Most of the people who have objected to this approach have left. There's been huge turnover. There's always been a from what I have learned, there's always been a large amount of turnover at the food bin, but even more so within the last 6 months or so. A lot of people just don't like it there and feel uncomfortable with this new approach to people in Santa Cruz. So, but I've only been there 3 months, and I'm one of the oldest people there who work there right now.
And you are, in fact, leaving now, right?
Yeah, this is my last week.
Is this because you found another job, perhaps?
Yeah, I did find another job, and I agree with their morals a lot more. There are multiple reasons I've left the food
bin. You actually let homeless people use the bathroom?
Yeah, I mean,
Sure?
There is no bathroom, actually. I got a job working for a farm, but Food Not Bombs takes a lot of their produce that they don't sell anymore, which I think is pretty cool. And they don't profile or object to people, from what I've seen.
How long have you been a Santa Cruzan?
Just since the beginning of this year, and I started working at the food bin as soon as I got here.
Where are you from?
I'm from Sonoma County.
And do you find a similar situation up there, or is it different?
I think it's similar there, but I don't think that Santa Rosa in particular, which is where I'm from, had the kind of community in the first place that Santa Cruz once had. Or it's a lot more spread out, I guess, and a lot more retired people, so it's just...
More conservative?
I think so in some ways.
More laid back.
I think that Santa Cruz seems to be more laid back, and it still has this reputation, but people who aren't from Santa Cruz don't know that it's being overtaken by gentrification.
Have you seen other aspects of Santa Cruz in the last 3 or 4 months? Well, since the beginning of the year, you say, when you arrived, that have concerned you, or positive or negative?
Well, I found the Sub Rosa community kind of right when I moved here, and I didn't really know about the issues Santa Cruz had until I started getting to know people in the Sub Rosa community and learning about the issues, but I also feel lucky to have found this space where people talk about those issues.
On those rare occasions where the space is actually open.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. But,
well, rare is perhaps a little harsh, but those occasional mm-hmm. opportunities to come in here.
Yeah, I spend some time at the Fabrica. I usually try to go there once a week.
What is the Fabrica?
It's next to Sub Rosa. It's in the hub. Mm-hmm. And it's a little sewing hub where people can go work on their projects. And it's donation based. But anyway, people there also have similar mindset, and there are some activists who hang out there that I've met and learned more about issues in Santa Cruz from.
Had much connection with people outside?
I'm sorry?
Have you had much connection?
Not a ton. I've mostly just spoken to people who have been here a long time and heard about the changes Santa Cruz has been through, and I've spoken to people at the farmers market who go around with their petitions and learned about like housing issues, and I've become a registered voter in Santa Cruz because of that.
If there were only something to vote for. Well, there is a rent control initiative.
Yeah.
That's about it. So how about the police? How are the security guards, so-called law enforcement agencies? How have you had much contact with them?
I haven't had any contact with them, actually.
You haven't considered joining the police, perhaps?
No.
You might have trouble getting into the Sub Rosa. Anything that you want to say about these issues we've talked about that I might not have mentioned?
I just think that talking about it more, like this meeting here, if more people, I didn't even know, I just happened to be in Sabrosa and I joined your meeting.
Every other Wednesday, Sabrosa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll be on the 20, well, it'll be the first Wednesday in May.
Yeah, okay. I think spreading the word about meetings and is like the first step to accomplish anything.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with
Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
And finally, there's the flashbacks. And actually, there's only going to be one flashback. That's going to be the May 18th, 1997 show, the Bathrop Spears Broadside Show. It's a two-hour show. It's got initially a report from Skidmark Bob Duran, who still around town. He works now at the Loudon Nelson Center. But in those days, he was a strong advocate and worker for Food Not Bombs and other civil rights for poor people causes. And he speaks about the 1997 crackdown on Food Not Bombs in Santa Cruz. You're going to hear interviews with folks. One guy who was arrested for picking flowers, another panhandler who was harassed. Bob Campbell, who's a longtime or a sometime social service provider. One time he ran the River Street Shelter. That was 20 or 25 years ago. Talking about medical marijuana and other issues. Nancy Nichols of San Jose's Community Homeless Alliance talks about anti-homeless laws in San Jose in 1997. I talk about the Toy Poodle Police Review Board we had that year. And finally, we're going to hear an interview with a woman named Robin, who was staffing a table outside the former Beat It shop protesting racial prejudice there. That's all the May 18th, 1997 flashback. Enjoy, and if you have questions or comments, complaints, or commendations, give me a call at 423-4833. The Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and my phone. Thanks for listening.